pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we've been studying the tribulation, I'm giving you somewhat of the highlights of the tribulation. There's no way that within this period of time that we've spent together that I could give you everything that's contained, that's written about the tribulation. And my prayer for you is that this will sort of whet, if I could use that term, whet your appetite so that you will get into the Word of God and you will continue your study in the prophecy of things to come. And as we've been studying the tribulation, I pray that once again you would increase your knowledge by getting into the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. Get into the Bible. Study the Word of God. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we have, as saved people, the Spirit of the living within us, the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. So once a person gets saved, they do have the Spirit living within them. And Christ said that this Spirit would come in order to lead and guide us through everything, through the Word, to help us to understand what God has for us as saved people. But He also has given the Holy Spirit to convict, to help unsaved people to know they need a Savior, and there's one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Well, for the saved, the Holy Spirit also convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts the saved person, letting that person know when something is wrong in their life, that they can get things right with the Lord. It doesn't mean they get saved again. There's only one salvation. There's only one eternal life, and that eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. You're saved once. Jesus is not going to die again. You're saved once. But when we get out of the will of the Lord as saved people, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and lets us know that we need to get back in fellowship with our Lord. Once again, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that makes us able to talk with the Lord once again in right relationship. We talk to Him through prayer, and He speaks to us through His Word, and that is the Bible. And right now, we're going to look into the Word of God, and we're going to complete this study on the tribulation. Now, the next study coming up will be the millennium, and that is another dispensation. That's dispensation number 8, as we're going through a study of the dispensations. But this, just before we get into the study of the millennium, we want to once again finish up speaking about the tribulation period, the tribulation, dispensation number 7. Well, I spoke the last time, and I mentioned Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And that first verse in that section of Scripture says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh." Now, He's coming back the second time. He's coming back, the Lord, that is. He's coming back. He's not coming back as that little baby in the cradle, in the manger. He's not coming back, once again, as a man, simply as a man. He's coming back as God. He's coming back as the ruler. And He's going to rule with a rod of iron, the Bible says. But that verse in Zechariah 14, verse 1 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." Well, this is, we're coming down to the end of the tribulation, and this is going to be the time of Armageddon, the battle. And I made mention last time, I put a question mark whenever I write down about the battle of Armageddon. It's not a battle to me, because all the Lord has to do is speak, and it's over. And primarily, that's what's going to happen. But the nations are going to gather together against Jerusalem, against the Lord. And that's the next verse. The verse 2 of Zechariah 14 says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the cities shall be taken, and the horses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This is speaking of a difficult time for the people of Israel, Jerusalem. And verse 3 says, talks about the second coming. And there's coming a time the Lord is going to be just completely fed up with what's going on. And that's the time when Jesus will come back and he's going to set up his millennial kingdom. But notice in verse 3 of Zechariah chapter 14, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Well, this day of battle, I believe, would refer to all great battles the Lord has won for Israel. Think of the many battles in your life that he's fought for you. Sickness, disease, finances, sorrow, on and on the list goes. Through all the battles of life, you're still here. God has so often and in so many ways defeated the enemies of your life. But why shouldn't you depend on him now and forever? Now, things, we look around and we get in our minds that things are worse now than they ever have been. But when we stop to think about it, as saved people, God never promised us a bed of roses. He said, when we get finished with this life, then it's going to be a bed of roses. We're going to be with the Lord, either in when this breath leaves this body or when he comes back in the clouds and he says, come up hither. And that's to us, the church, people who make up the church, save people today. And I remind you that right now we're in the dispensation of the church. We're living right now. And what a great privilege it is to live during this time, the dispensation of the church. And how much, what privilege we have as save people today. And we get in our minds that we're having it rough. Well, it's not going to be. It's nothing compared right now. It's nothing compared to what's going to take place in the tribulation and at the end of the tribulation, for especially for those people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, Psalm 18, verse 39 says, for thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. What do we have to complain about as Christians? God is the one who gives us the strength. He's the one who lifts us up and builds us up. And whatever battle comes into our life, we don't understand everything many times of what's going on, but we know that when things come into our lives, that God gives us the opportunity to grow, to become stronger, to help other individuals who may have the same problem down the road somewhere. We can help that individual who goes through somewhat of the same thing that we've gone through and we've overcome because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can help that brother or sister in the Lord to have the knowledge of realizing that God has girded them with strength unto the battle. And notice in Psalm 24 and verse 8, it says, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. That's who the King of glory is, the Lord strong and mighty. And he's mighty in battle. Our battles come into our life, and the Lord is there. The Lord is the victor. And we become victors with him as we depend upon him to take care of things in our lives. Well, we sometimes, many times, try to prepare for what we imagine or think is coming. We prepare to the best of our ability and with what is humanly possible. And we sometimes look to things and other people as well, or our own preparations for victory in our battles of life. But the Bible says in Psalm 55 and verse 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31, says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. We can do all the preparations that is imaginable, all the preparations that man can come up with, but there's only one who gives us the victory. There's only one who we find safety in, And I'm going to read that again, Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the battle. We do all things to get prepared. And the verse says, but safety is of the Lord. It's the Lord we need to be looking to for strength, for victory in this life as saved people. And the unsaved person needs to look to the Lord for salvation. And that's victory over death, then hell. That's victory. Because one day, the person who received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be with him in glory. Revelation 16, verses 17 through 21, we read of the seventh vial. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Well, the vial of the seventh angel is declared to be poured out into the air, and the resulting action is catastrophic. It's accompanied by a great voice out of the temple in heaven and from the throne, stating in emphatic terms, verse 17, "It is done." It's finished. Well, this is the final act of God preceding the second coming of Christ. That is, the seventh vial will be poured out. And the great city, Jerusalem, according to verse 19 of Revelation 16, the great city, Jerusalem, is split into three parts. Well, Jesus will come to the Mount of Olives when he comes again. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4 says this, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." Well, this is once again, as we think of the Lord coming back and touching down on the Mount of Olives, before that happens, the judgment will take place upon man. It talks about hail falling. And this hail is a punishment comparable to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But here the judgment takes in the entire earth. And once again, it says the great city Jerusalem and cities of the nation. No one is exempt. And islands and mountains are gone. There's no place to hide. Jesus is coming. The end of the beast and the false prophet is seen in Revelation 19, 20. And it says, "And then the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Well, what happens to the devil at the end of the tribulation? Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. The end of the devil will not come until after the millennium. He will be incarcerated in the bottomless pit until the end of the millennium. And I pray that you know Jesus today. What a great time it is to be living and knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're going to see him soon.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord.
May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.